If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new.
Woo.
Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyoncé.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality games. Let's love.
The milk isn't real. The meat isn't real, and the sausages aren't even meat. Welcome to America, Manuel.
American Dream's dead. They sold you a bad bill of goods.
A bad bill of goods. You're going to eat.
It's just going to be you and Rico Suave.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be some fake meat, and it's going to give you the shits.
As who said, Papa Kalani, the milk's expensive and the honey's not sweet.
Boy.
I know, that's brutal. He's just like, where is this place?
Everything is just so much sad. I'm behind on Last Resort.
What were you saying?
Married to Reality. We're going to be talking at the end of Last Resort. I'm going to be popping on.
Oh, you're going to be on them?
You were going to do a little episode talking about the Last Resort. So I know, because several of you have messaged me saying, are you going to talk about this? I need to hear about it. So
it will be discussed.
I tried to keep watching.
I love it. I've just been busy.
It bogs me down.
Give me every episode.
It bogs me down too much.
I love it. Y'all, check out our collab with Game of Roses that should be dropping this week about Golden Bachelor. Listen to our episodes of that if you haven't. Share them, because sharing is caring. So share about those. We had also a collab with Justine and Natasha from Two Black Girls, One Rose last week. So be sure to check that out. That is on their feed, not ours. So be sure to check that out.
Also, we're almost through October here. Well,
I know. I wonder if I'll be in Santa Barbara or Los Angeles by the time this drops.
Oh, fuck.
It's still, they did, by the way, a lot of sissies, I think I said it on a paid show, but I would remind everybody that Spencer the cat is doing well. He needs fluids every day and he's lost a lot of weight. So he is 21. But a lot of people are asking about Spencer. He's doing fine.
He needs fluids every day?
Every day, yeah.
Does she have to give him like an IV?
Yeah, it's an IV.
That's an old cat.
We just give him a churro, and he eats the churro. Not a churro. A churri.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It's some type of cat treat called like a churri or a churri. and you just give it to him and he eats that once he puts it in there. Anyway, he's doing fine. Really? You know what? I don't know why. I'm going to have to give you fluids one day. Every day I'll just have to come over and stick something in the back of your neck.
That is an old cat. 21.
He's 21. So, but her apartment is almost getting finished. There's a wall up. There's paint on the wall. So hopefully I'll be able to move back to LA, but who knows?
Before Spencer kicks it.
Before Spencer. But I got to go back to Santa Barbara because I'm going to have to go to that beach at UCSB and look at all the surfers one last time because I can't believe they're real. They're gorgeous. That's gorgeous.
Why does it As feel I said, youth gross is wasted. when you talk about it? Because you're just sitting
they're
there
all
like, an old lech.
They're all over 18.
I
have sunglasses on. They think I'm meditating.
We need to move on because I'm feeling gross. In September you got fully loaded. In October you got hand tossed, and I've decided finally. In November you're getting stuffed and basted. It doesn't rhyme, which I'm a little upset about.
It doesn't rhyme. I kind of thought since it was the third one, it would have three. But I thought it would have three things because the third month. But
no, you're wrong. Nope.
I think I'm right. I think it should, but I'm
no, it's too
also,
many.
No, I disagree, but I'm also...
Well, why don't you fucking come up with it?
I have, and you go, but it's fine. We'll do what you want to do. The only thing I approve of it, why I'm going to go along with it is because...
How lovely.
Yeah, welcome to my world. Every time you say it, it makes my stomach turn because it's so gross in the visual
image. That's how you know it's right.
And that's how you know it's a little
right.
That's
how you know it's right.
So that's why I'm on board now. Stuffed
and basted.
Stuffed and basted.
Because remember, this Thanksgiving, you can always, you don't have to be thankful. You just have to be stuffed and basted. Like an American.
It is when something grosses me out, you know it's right. Yeah. I agree. It's when it hits that kind of go, it hits the back of your throat and goes, ew.
Like I imagine like on your feet as you're getting stuffed in base, are those little like white chef hats that they put on the end of
like
turkey
little
legs.
Turkey legs. And me going, hey boy, hey. Just looking through them and getting stuffed and basted.
With an apple in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. How else do you do it?
I don't know.
Like a pig. Yeah. Y'all, anyway, November 3rd, Selling Sunset Season 7.
Selling Sunset Season 7.
Plathville is continuing on our $8 tier. And
we did find out Golden Bachelor, Sissy messages.
Only 8 episodes.
Only 8 episodes. So we're more than halfway through. So be sure to check out those, y'all. Not a lot.
I think that's about it. Should we jump in? You've got a Broadway corner to talk about.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
It is weird that you're seeing a Stephen Sondheim show while I'm in Los Angeles and a show that I really wanted to see.
I think you should come out. I will say this. You should come out and see it.
I want to. It'll be open in January, and I never want to go to New York in January, but Sutton Foster is doing Once Upon a Mattress at City Center Encores. So I'd
Oh, she is.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see her do that show.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are they just doing one and done of
No, it's like Encores. It runs for like 2 weekends.
Oh, let me know when you're going and I'll go the other weekend. I'm kidding.
Okay.
I would like to see that show, but in January? Oh,
I know.
I don't
want to
go
to
New York in January.
Can we talk about this off the pod? Okay.
Fine.
Anyway, we'll talk about your Broadway corner.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Basted.
Right. It's so gross.
Yeah.
Y'all, you're just like covered in cum.
Stop. No. Mm-mm. We're too early. Too early in the pod.
Mm-mm. It's better than glazed. I find glazed even worse.
You cannot talk about covered in cum until at least 15 minutes into the pod. I'm sorry. You cannot.
Rivulets of semen. Rob and Sophie. I'd rather talk about cum than them, to be honest. I'd rather talk about cum for 20 more minutes, and I think y'all would too.
This couple is boring. We did find out, y'all, huge news, big news. He drives a what poodle?
A Chrysler Crossfire?
Crossfire.
Am I getting this wrong?
Yeah, because Crossfire? It's a crossover car, y'all. So it is it's a very old Chrysler.
Yeah.
They don't make anymore. I think what we
A lot of our straight male sissies who like cars immediately clocked the car and told us what it was.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
I think what we've learned, especially this episode, either it's an act or, y'all, Rob is broke as fuck.
I think it's a combination of a couple of things. I think he is someone who tried to do a couple of different professions and decided that none of them really fit him. And this is the next attempt, and that's being an influencer. So the show is his new job.
It is. I did write. It's funny you say that. I wrote, I feel like he's lost, and I'm worried that this marriage is a way for him to find himself.
Yeah. Well, and and someone, y'all, someone sent me some of his modeling pics. No dick pics, unfortunately, but they're hot. His butt was in the picture. It was a really good butt.
I didn't see these. Did they send them to Reality Gaze and then you looked at it and then didn't save it?
Just me. I would feel breaking the trust of the person I sent it to if I showed them to you. So sorry about that.
I really don't care to see them.
That's a lie. You know you want to see them.
Kind of don't, because he's so boring to me, but he's pretty.
You say boring. I don't think that's what's going for him. I think he's trying to make maybe there's not a lot there, but he is so defensive and argumentative that I don't see a lot of redeeming things. Maybe it's the edit he's getting, but boy, there's not a lot to like about this person. He is a dick. That's the word I think of.
Is he playing defensive because, again, I'm going to say that because Sophie's more boring. She's so kind of closed and just very contained. And I thought, when I watched this, I went, is this a lot of audacity because she's not giving anything and he's performing for the cameras just to make plot?
Maybe. Meanwhile, she's in what I call the Inglewood outhouse. Getting ready.
Or as she says, y'all, when she says, this patio is nice, and then they just see the file cabinets lined up by each other. You know what this place looks like? It reminds me of like when I was did you ever build forts when you were a kid?
Yeah. With cushions, yeah.
No, we actually, behind the Cheney's house, so behind our house where the field where I threw my mom's Alex Claiborne shoes.
Yeah.
So that are now buried in the earth somewhere. They'll find them years from now. But past that field, right across from that, there was this kind of wooded area behind the Cheney's who owns Dale's Market. We built an actual fort.
Shouldn't have been the Dale's. Dale's should have owned Dale's Market.
No, his name was Dale Cheney. So it's Dale's Market.
Yes. Dale Cheney. Got it.
Dale. D-A-L-E. Dale.
Which I thought it was D-E-L-L because of the way you say
oh,
it.
Oh, yes. No, Dale. So anyway, we borrowed some wood from my daddy and we actually made like put the wood on the tree and like made like a fort in. And got some fabric and made an actual fort outside. And I feel like...
You added fabric because you were gay.
Yes.
Gay.
Well, we had to have curtains. That would be uncivilized. Anyway, so we made a fort. And I feel like that's what this, it looks like someone made this building of just, they went to a junkyard and they just kind of, either a fort or like a house of someone in Mad Max, like what they would have made to like this provisional place for themselves.
I think it is a transitional housing kind of situation. I doubt in Los Angeles, you can have an apartment without a bathroom. So I don't know.
I think that's fair.
If this,
or at least is shared.
If this is passing city code.
I don't think an inspector has been out there because I think it's behind a pawn shop, but no one knows it's there.
I also believe this is transitional housing and no one lives there for very long. And he keeps saying, you keep talking about moving, blah, blah, blah. We don't. Come on. I'm also sorry. This is the thing. If she didn't want to be there, if she's like, we need to move on, ask your rich parents or your rich grandpa for money. I'm over this idea. So many things are incongruent here. If you come from money, great. If you come from money and you want, but you're complaining about slumming it in a place that is not nice, I will give that to you, Sophie. It's not nice. But if there's a place you could get money, and that should outweigh the idea. You need to say, oh, I should borrow money so we can be in a better house. Now, if he says no, then you can talk. I just hate this idea.
I mean, at least she's not like shaming him about his place. I mean, she says privately, she's like, this place is not nice, but I'm not going to say that to him. But I also feel like just it's very small. There's not even if it was a nice ish place, or not even nice, even if it had an indoor bathroom, it's still too small for them.
Like, yeah, exactly.
So it just, y'all, I just, this storyline reeks of fraudacity to me. It just feels gibberish all over again, but they're more likable.
And it made me feel even weirder when, he said, I tried to put you to sleep last night. And she's like, I was so jet lagged. And apparently she's laying there. They're doing what Cody and Robin do called hospice play. She's just laying there half asleep and he's just banging her, which is a little weird and maybe non-consensual.
No. I don't think she seemed consensual.
I was so jet lagged. I'm just saying it was a little weird.
This is why we can't have anyone on the show.
But no, you didn't think it was questionable that they said that?
It almost seems, I guess it's hard for me to take anything seriously with them because I feel like they're just punking us. So I felt like they were like, oh, this is a 1980s joke you make of, oh, I was tired and had a headache, but he wanted to get it done. It felt like they were doing that, which is gross.
Even if it is a joke, that's the point I'm making. That's the point I'm making. It's just like,
yeah, I agree. It didn't feel real to me, but it is like a very outdated, gross joke.
So anyway,
regardless of where it is,
they're talking about, he says, well, talking about the apartment in the bathroom, you were raised in houses in Dubai and Spain, and this is not the worst thing in the world. So already it's almost like he's living in this place to spite her.
Yeah. Also, I want to ask, what's worse?
What do you mean?
Like, this place is a shithole. Yeah. Like, he's like, I know it's not nice. It's like you're saying,
Oh, it's
great.
Not the worst thing in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it's not far from the bottom.
Yeah. And I think it's the narrative also. She even says, she's like, Rob was raised in the hood. And again, and I'm sure that's something that he has told her. Stuff. I will say this man's storytelling of where he grew up. He grew up in, I think it was like Kansas or something like that. It wasn't L.A. He did not grow up, just to be clear, he did not grow up in Inglewood.
Mm-hmm.
And so the story of, you know, Inglewood growing up and tough, rough kid growing up in the streets in the hood, that's not, at least in Southern California, that's not what happened.
He also spent time in Oregon. So I think it's easier for people to believe and to streamline his story. Like, this is a tough kid who grew up on the streets. That is not what happened. It is much more layered than that.
Well, I think, honestly, if we're calling out, I think the show is banking on people's assumptions about black people in America.
Exactly.
And that's what, and
Rob that's what's gross.
And that feels gross that, oh, black people come from the hood in America.
And he's leaning
and
into
that's
it.
Not, that is not the, it,
yeah. Bleh. Yeah.
I got to say, y'all, if you roll your eyes when they come on screen, we do.
You're not
too.
Alone.
I don't, and it's not that I actively, we were talking about this before. I don't actively dislike them like gibberish. Like
they're
Jabri
not
and
that
Miona.
Bad as Jabri and Miona.
They're not that bad. Like, I actually don't, I don't get like that they're, he can be a bit of an asshole, but I don't get that either of them are kind of just dickhead. Like,
oh, I get that
like
from him.
Miona was terrible online to people. And like, I don't get that vibe from Sophie at all. Actually, she seems really sweet, but I'm just bored.
Later on, they're walking, they're at Venice Beach, and he's like, this is my favorite places. I'm like, have you ever seen the drughead crazies in Venice Beach? They're, y'all, Venice Beach is not really, there's some crazy motherfuckers out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. it's not.
Go to Santa Monica. Jesus.
Well, I don't know if his car would make it up the hills to like Zuma Beach, like an actual pretty beach.
Yeah, but he said, oh, one of my favorite places to like relax, Venice Beach. I'm like, what? With like a meth head with a crack pipe in his mouth starts screaming at you about going to Mars?
Yes, exactly. he just laughs and says, well, that's my friend Philly.
I was like,
he's
I don't think you've been to.
Again.
I don't think you've been to Venice Beach a lot. Just gonna tell you, it's not a place where you want to relax. Freaks come out at night. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Oh, I just love that. So anyway, Sophie said it'd be nice to live out here. This is so fucking scripted. I don't know. Yeah. No one can be this clueless. Is it?
Yeah.
If she is, then she needs to. They need to give her a book.
If also, if her family. So we keep questioning Rob's life.
Yeah.
Rob's background, but this made me question Sophie's because mm-hmm. if your family is that rich that you're just thinking about just buying a beach house on Venice Beach. There yeah. is no fucking way you would live in
she goes,
where you were living.
Thank you. And that's when she points, how much is one of those? And it's like a little condo. And he's like, oh, I don't know. Let's Google. Boop, 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 which he doesn't do. And the he's like, that's $25,000 a month. And it's just like, none of this is real talk. And it's supposed to make her seem out of touch. And later on, we're going to keep going. She says in the moment, she says, well, when I was 16 and 17, I began waitressing and disassociated from my family. They don't give me money and I don't ask. So you're completely self-funded since 16 or 17? Come on. I'm getting wound up.
It just, what is this? What is your story? That's what I keep asking. Like, what is your, because when you keep throwing, I get 90 Day has secrets, but this is like, we keep rewriting
yeah.
who we think people were. I go back to think there wasn't a lot there. Maybe they thought these people are pretty and they'll be great on the show, but they're not entertaining at all.
Could I ask this question? Why are they? The open four leadoff. Why are they part of the open four leadoff?
So unless, I don't know, something good has to happen or maybe
bad.
They're just, but again, we had to just live with gibberish for the whole season.
That's true. Gibberish was all over that season.
But at least gibberish, we had his horrible, foul mother that I hated
true.
So much that triggered me. Oh.
And so when, and we also had his ridiculous dressing style. So yes. At least
Space Jam, Space Cash.
Space Cash. At least you could laugh at some of those storylines. I don't think we're going to be laughing a lot.
No.
And anyway, y'all, she says, I'll never ask them for money or ask my family. So the question is, I have to say, is if you're going to complain about the place you live in, she seemingly had a pretty nice apartment in London. We saw that place. Mm-hmm. It seemed nice. So if she was funding all of that, I'm going to make an argument here. If she doesn't accept money from her family, mm-hmm. she must have some kind of savings to afford that place. She must, or she makes money as an influencer. I know it's hard to get in the weeds about this, but as soon as you start putting two and two together, the whole story falls apart.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Because...
I rest my case, Your Honor. The prosecution rests.
Although, who knows? Maybe she's got some type of YouTube thing like that. This is a bit of a spoiler. It's not a huge spoiler, but just when we met some young person on Selling Sunset who's 21 years old and has a hedge fund, and you and I just were like, gunk.
Venture capital.
I don't even know what it was. It was so rich.
No, but the issue here is that even if she did, she would have income. So in other words, they could use her income.
Let me add to what you're saying. It's kind of what I was saying before. If she started working, she was 16, and she's able to pay for her own apartment in London, she's making that type of money, then she not only would be making income, she would be making the type of income that she could easily
fix
the situation.
That's what I'm saying.
And would never live where they're living.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that's what it actually kind of, I don't want to say offensive because I've never been very poor or I've never dealt with poverty. That's a better way to say that. But it feels like there are people in our country
offensive
that do live like live worse than Rob, who don't have indoor plumbing, and it feels like they're play acting at it.
Here's what Tinfoil Hattie thinks.
Oh, no.
Tinfoil Hattie thinks he moved into this shithole because he thought it would tell a better story. Kid from the hood, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
It's just...
That's cynical as fuck. I'm aware of it. It's Tinfoil Hattie.
But you're right. I think you're a lot of... He moved in there, and I get it. It's difficult to be mixed race. But you're a beautiful mixed race man who's a model. I want you to think about like a dark skinned black man in America who's not
good looking.
And yeah. Like it's just, yeah, it feels like play. Yeah.
Yeah. Can we move on? No, I agree with you. That's so y'all. Anyway, they're talking about that's when also this cheating talk where his phone rings. And he gets a message. He's like, who's that? Oh, just some random page I follow with some random girl, some random blah, 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 with random booty shorts on and random. I'm not sure if this is fake, but he's the worst liar ever.
You know what it is? With their storyline, y'all, it's all in the specificity of this. If there are no specifics, then we feel like there's no truth.
Yeah. Totally.
And everything about their storyline is wrapped in vagueness. Mm-hmm. Even this, I got a text from, he gave the same, I recognize it because it's like when Poodle and I are working on something and Poodle's looking at his phone and I'll say, get off Grindr. And he'll say, I'm not on Grindr. I'm reading some news thing. And I know that he's actually just looking at a guy edge himself and not telling
me the
truth.
I'm not on Grindr. So
it's the same look.
Just to clarify, he says, I don't follow any of these girls. I follow a page that posts this kind of stuff. So I follow a page that posts this girl in booty shorts.
Great.
And he flips it back on her. And this is a total defensive move. He's like, didn't you find me on a page of hot guys? And she's like, well, I was single. And so they're going to go back and forth about cheating or not cheating.
Doesn't he also He said, you found me on a page with a bunch of hot guys. But then that, doesn't that make you then seem like an asshole because you're following a page with hot, like, you just discredited yourself. When he gave that reasoning. When Rob was like, you followed me on a page with a bunch of hot guys. And I went, yeah, when she was single. Now, Rob, you're not single. Why are you following you at a page with a bunch of hot women?
Everything. And he turns it around on her. And he's just such an asshole. I don't think you could fake this level of asshole. So, but Sophie does say, I'm a very jealous person. But Rob has not been the most faithful. And she says, I forgave him when he online cheated. So remember the accusation that her friend said was he not only sent pictures to this, they keep saying person, because if it was a man, now I'm interested. But it seemed like it was a woman.
What if that's the story? And she tells him I'm bisexual, and then he said, Sophie,
so am I.
So am I. And then Poodle lost his goddamn mind.
And then I don't really care about the rest of the story. I just want the OnlyFans.
Exactly.
So,
which
then, y'all. But I just want to clarify. He sent videos. That's what she said. The friend did. So that's a little more involved. And he said, that was when I hadn't seen you for 7 months, but you were still together.
What kind
of videos? During COVID.
That's what I want to know.
What kind of videos are there?
You
think it was him doing hand puppets? And Senior Wences?
It was him doing that cup challenge from Pitch Perfect.
Definitely.
That was it.
Definitely.
He
pulled his pud.
He
jerked the gherkin.
As sure as I've seen Razvan's huge, beautiful penis, this guy's going to have an OnlyFans.
Yeah. Oh, with no doubt. This is the pre-launch for the OnlyFans hard launch.
Literally. It's a hard launch.
Y'all, they're going to have an OnlyFans together. And he's going to have his own, and she's going to have her own. Ugh. Anyway.
And only fans of our own. That's the way you said that.
Somewhere that's fake. I forgave him when he and she. He even says, you know, I didn't cheat. So why do you need to say that? So none of this has really been talked about, finally. They're walking their dog later, and he's more concerned about his dog's allergies because the dog is limping.
Well, when that dog's licking, that's worse when your dog's licking its paws. He said it, and I got triggered. Remember when Sophie would just lick her paws? Yeah. I have seen so many. I've seen three schnauzers in New York just walking down the street, and all three of them had gay owners. And I went, if I moved to New York, I should start a gay schnauzer club.
Yeah, that sounds like, I think you'd all be single.
Oh, they were so cute. And I talked to the dogs and the dogs came up and loved me. And it was so sweet.
Great.
Oh, never mind. I'm not going to tell you that. Keep
going.
You
have to say it now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai.
Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
So I was walking. This happened the last time I was in New York. I was walking with our friends Liz and Greg, and I was walking in their neighborhood, and I saw someone on the curb. Not at someone. It's like a person who was sitting on their stoop, and he said something and I kind of said something to him, something with like some Southern saying. And Greg said that he's like, that's the most un-New York thing I've ever seen someone do, Maddie.
Sounds about right for you.
And so I thought, I don't do that too much, do I? And then yesterday.
No, you do it all the fucking time.
Well, yesterday I was walking in Soho with my friend Tia and
Soho.
So we were walking down the street and just around the corner, this man came around and he just looked silver hair and probably gay. I don't know if he was gay or not. Doesn't matter. But was gorgeous, but very impeccably dressed. And he walked around the corner. Just like a swarm of bees just stung me in my face and just shocked me. And I just said out loud, I said, well, goodness, you are just so handsome. And he,
Jesus. Are
you? I said, you look so handsome. That's what I said. You look so handsome in that.
And
I guess people are glad to hear it.
The shock on that man, he looked at me and then he said, he actually stopped walking and then he smiled. He said, well, thank you. And then he kept walking and my friend Tia was laughing so hard because it looked like it. She said, I don't think he would have been more shocked if you just pulled down your pants and peed on his leg. And I said, that's probably
true. No one does that in New York.
No one does that.
I'm going
to
move on
up one day.
You are. It's embarrassing. So anyway, he keeps saying about the cheating. When are you going to let this go? And he is fully angry at this point.
He is.
And the way he explains this, I responded to someone in bed when I hadn't seen you in 8 months. And that's not cheating. And then this is the kicker. You should give me credit that I didn't like cheat in 2.5 years. So you get a prize, Rob, for not cheating.
Yeah. And then,
yo, this guy's cheated. I promise 100%. You, when you defend it so much, you have cheated.
Yes. Yes. And
well, you're on dating app. You, my friend Tarai says you were on a dating app. He's like, I was on the friend side.
I think she was looking for friends on fucking Bumble.
I just, unless, she's like, I can see the guilt in his eyes. I see it too.
Unless she, what did she?
Looking for girls.
With a woman.
But she hasn't been with one yet.
She says that.
That's right. She still has to tell him that, y'all.
Think about, maybe she has though. How many times have you told a man this is your first time?
That's true. You would be amazed how that works.
It works so good, y'all. Just tell them it's your first time and they've got a big dick and they're
into it. It's a great role play. It's a great role play starter too of a scenario.
Men are so easy.
They are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Y'all, it's time for Maddie's Broadway Corner. Again,
that song isn't sanctioned. I want you to choose a different name. That's all I ask. It's just derivative.
Y'all, it won't be long. I went and saw Merrily We Roll Along in the Hudson
Theater.
By Stephen Sondheim, starring Daniel Radcliffe, Jonathan Groff, and Lindsay Mendez, right? Yep, Lindsay
Mendez.
What is she famous for?
She was Elphaba. She was Elphaba.
Oh. That makes sense, because bitch could sing.
Carrie and Carousel as well, in the last revival.
Did she, I think she's won a Tony too, right?
I don't think so.
Or at least nominated.
I don't know. Yeah, I think nominated, yeah.
Has Jonathan Groff won a Tony or just nominated for it?
I don't think he's won one.
He is very handsome in real life.
He is.
He's a handsome
man. He's been in my apartment. I've worked with him. I've coached with him. I've told you the story.
Name dropper.
No!
Wow.
I did not say his name. You're the worst name dropper.
Wow. He's been in my apartment and I've coached with him.
He's a lovely, you know what it is?
I've told you this. Do you do breathing exercises?
No, I told you this when I never really got it. And I'm like, what is this, Jonathan Groff? I don't get the star quality. And then I was in the same room with him and I got it.
So Jonathan Groff has spat on you.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I was breathing his saliva particles when he was singing. His music director was getting there late and she gave him my name. Because she and I are friends. I'm not name-dropping. I'm telling you what just happened.
Uh-huh.
No, what name-dropping is, we say, when I went out with blah, blah, blah.
Well, I don't do that.
You brought up someone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's very handsome. I will say, there's actually a funny, I shared it to my Instagram story, but there's a funny just clip from I think I was on Variety, of the three of them talking, and people are asking like him about the spitting, because y'all, he spits. Yeah. So you could see it just flying off of him the entire time. And at one point, I understood why he said this. At one point, he was like crying, and then he raised up, and his entire face looked like it had been put into a salve. It was just the entire thing was salve. Just wet. That's what I said.
You said salve.
It's called salve.
Yeah. You don't.
It
pronounce
reads like salve. But his entire face just looked like it had grease on it. It was just shiny and wet. And in this Variety video, he's like, well, he just says, you know, I get wet. And you see Daniel Radcliffe go, no, you don't, man. No. And Lindsay, and Mendez, she's like, say that again. Like, and he keeps trying to say it the wrong. He's like, I just get so wet. And Daniel Radcliffe's like, stop saying that, please. It's anyway, it's a very funny video. And I bring that up because you can tell that these three actors have developed great chemistry together. And that is so paramount in this show because it's about the friendship of three people. Yeah. And if you didn't have that, then it never would work. It never
tell
would
us,
work.
People, a lot of people don't know what this show's about.
I knew nothing about it. Nothing.
Which I don't know how you get through someone who knows musical theater and didn't know anything about this show, but that's fine.
y'all, the show is about three friends, specifically, Daniel Radcliffe and Jonathan are writing partners. Daniel Radcliffe is a lyricist. Jonathan Groff is a musician, or he writes, he composes. And they write musicals. They're trying to make it in New York. And the kind of one of the themes of this show to me was just the price of success.
Right.
And it's actually you alluded
how to people this, change. Yeah.
And how people change.
And how success changes people.
Lindsay Mendez, she plays their friend who is also a writer.
Yeah.
And the show is done in a reverse cron order. So it starts kind of in the beginning when the friendship.
At the end.
At the end of
the present. Is, technically yes, the present, yeah.
The French in the 70s. The friendship is broken and ruined.
She's
and
a drunk.
Shambles. Yeah, yeah, she's a drunk, all this. And then the show goes back to like 1954. And when it ends met. Where it began with them meeting one another and kind of dreaming together. So as an artist, it was, again, and just as someone who's in I couldn't help but see the parallels of just Jake and I's relationship of meeting when we were 20 years ago and all this. So it was, thankfully, a lot of things were not similar, thankfully.
I hope not.
Thankfully, yeah. But this whole idea of, you know, it is, I think Jake and I both, work. I don't mean this to pat ourselves on the back, but we work at the business relationship and we're aware of that because you have to have a kind of a pulse on it. So that's the basis of the show. Personally, what I got from it, it made me develop just even more. I'm actually very grateful that we've experienced our success a little later in life. I think because as we've said, what happens in the show is Jonathan Groff's character really kind of launches and has success and kind of is launching on his own and leaves other people in the dust. I liked it. The show, I think the weakest part of the show is actually, for me, I felt like was the book. That was the part that I felt like needed. Did Sondheim write the book as well?
No. I think Lapine, but it's based on a play. It's based on a,
I don't know if any of this is autobiographical. Often. Like I know, didn't like, it just made me feel like, cause they, none of this like with, cause didn't Sondheim have like a terrible relationship with Roger's daughter or something like that?
No, they don't know what you're talking about.
Or Mary Rogers or something.
No,
like,
they had a lovely relationship with Mary Rogers. They were best friends. She fell in love with him.
So none of this was autobiographical.
No.
At all.
But cause it's a play beforehand. My problem with the show, it's my favorite of Sondheim scores, and because the music is so great. The problem I have is, I don't think the show is a fixable problem. I think the show has people. What they did is cast three people who were so motherfucking likable
that even at the beginning, I wonder how unlikable Jonathan Groff could be. Mm-hmm. To me, it ends with them saying they're singing a song called Our Time. And to me, I walk away from that show devastated by what happened. Some people say, oh, I find it very uplifting. I'm like, were you and I watching the same show?
No, it made me grateful, but just in a way because of watching the tragedy. It should be devastating.
Yeah.
Well, because that could easily, we're creative people, that could easily be our life if we want, yes. If we let it be that way. So I will say, I think it affected me more than any Sondheim piece I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a great show.
More than like Sunday in the Park with George about creativity, like way it just felt, just because they're in New York and then they come to LA and there's just, yeah.
How was his Franklin Shepard Inc.?
It was one of the best things I've seen on stage. That was Daniel Radcliffe.
Very, very hard thing to do.
Daniel Radcliffe is fantastic. I get it. Is that the song Franklin Shepard Inc. is where he sings?
Jonathan Groff does buzz buzz buzz. That's the one person song.
No, that's Daniel Radcliffe.
You're right. That is
because he does it during the interview.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. He was so funny, and watching him, I went, oh, I get it. I get why you were casting Harry Potter. Like, I get why you're a big, so talented. Also,
we need to talk about Gussie.
Oh my God. I need to look up this actress's name. She was so fucking good.
Yeah, she was. That's the real kind of evil role in the show.
Yeah. You couldn't help but, kind of like you said, she had such a charm to her. You saw why everybody loved her and why they were attracted to her, but you hated her. She sang so well, and she was gorgeous and the costumes. And I went, oh, she's a movie star. She'll be a star on films. I can't remember her name. Wait, where's my program?
I just love when someone says, yeah, she'll be a star. I just can't remember her name.
Let me look. Gussie. Her name is Crystal aging. Joy Brown.
Oh, yeah. She's a star. She's already a star, honey.
She is?
Yes, she's already a Broadway star. I didn't know
she was in Hamilton. Wow.
She's new to you.
Wow. Oh, no, she was on the Equalizer. That show with Queen Latifah.
I'd like to say before that she's also been in my apartment. I promise you. I've coached with her.
Wow. What an asshole. Just dropping them both.
You brought up these two.
Wow, what a name drop. I'm sorry, everybody. We're just gonna have to muddle through. I'm almost done. She's lovely. Drag queen acting as its best. It was great.
That's the role, definitely. That's big. Yeah.
I think with the book, it felt sometimes like what happens in really I shouldn't equate it to this, but still, not even bad, but just mediocre jukebox musicals where you feel like someone wrote Not a Day Goes By and you want to put this song in the show. But like when that was sung, I didn't really know who Beth was. That's Jonathan's Groff wife. I didn't care about her. And
Beth
suddenly
is a forgettable
singing,
character.
Yeah. And suddenly she's singing Not a Day Goes By, which is one of the most like sad, haunting Sondheim songs
ever.
And it's unearned.
And that is the fundamental problem with the show and why it will never really theoretically or dramaturgically work.
I think the show needs to recognize that the women in the show were not written well, and it maybe is of the time, but even Mary We didn't really get a lot about her except for that she was in love with Jonathan Groff, and that was kind of it. She felt like a two-dimensional character where the other two felt three-dimensional.
I don't think the problems are fixable. I think that's why I think it should only be done as a concert piece. And without the set and without the time changes, mm-hmm. It becomes a lot less real to us. So it becomes theoretical, and it's easier to deal with the show for me better that way.
Yeah, his wife felt like an afterthought. So that was just anyway, but great, like the music. I didn't know a lot of the music. I knew some from like, you know, Hey Old Friend or whatever, and Not a Day Goes By, but I'm so glad I saw this. I'm almost done. I'm glad I saw this show now and not when I was younger, because I do think like that song Now You Know is not going to hit you when you're 22, but it's going to hit you when you're 44 years old and you've gone through life and had loss. And that song just felt so autobiographical of the moment.
You know what it is?
It moved me a lot.
It hits you at different ways throughout that. That show's hit me in different ways at different parts of my life.
Yeah. I would give it the book, not great. I still say it was especially just hearing Jonathan and Lindsay, right? Yeah. Sing, that was a pleasure. So I will say
you heard it here, folks. If you got an extra $900 because they're burning up the ticket sales.
I didn't pay that much, but yeah. I was in the back.
I kind of have a problem with that, but that's
no, I do too. It was I just knew this was probably gonna be a once in a lifetime thing for me to see it. And I will say this though too, y'all. I don't think I'm gay enough to live in New York because I mean, y'all. Gay men in New York.
Strange men on the street would disagree with you.
But that one man who said I was, but boy, it is exhausting to be a gay man in New York, I think. It is so much work. It's so much talking.
Yeah.
It's so much indicating while you're talking. It was just all the men around me. It was a lot.
They have a very they have a lot to talk about, a lot of shows to put on.
They're
exhausting.
And that's Maddie's Broadway Corner.
I like that version.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Let's talk about Ashley and Manuel.
Okay.
I'm going to say this now. Manuel and Rico Suave are going to be fast friends.
Oh.
I'm not worried anymore. He's sitting there petting. He's absentmindedly petting that dog.
Yeah. Y'all. This is a relationship I care about.
And she said, we got into a fight, then we made up, then we had sex. We banged it out like we always do.
She said, we banged it out. I got to say, I'm sure she's going to be cuckoo, but I fucking love Ashley. I love her on the screen.
She can come up with some funny lines.
Yeah, she's funny. And mark my words, y'all, she is going to show out in the tell-all.
She will. And he says, Rico Suave gave me too many kisses. And he's like, I still don't like him. He's like, and we had whiskey, so I was very I was very active.
I thought people get whiskey dick. I thought that's a thing. I didn't know whiskey made you active.
Apparently not with Manuel. I think whiskey dick is just something they say about you've been drinking too much.
Does whiskey make you horny? Well, actually, air makes you horny, so never mind. Never mind.
Something like bourbon does. Bourbon or tequila. Ooh, yeah.
Or water. Or Diet Coke. Y'all, Poodle gets horny
milk.
Poodle gets horny from a Fresca.
I do. Clearly Canadian. I haven't had a Clearly Canadian in a long time.
They're back.
Why?
Because everything is, it's the same thing as why we have an Esprit in the Grove. It's all back now.
So, y'all, they're going to the grocery store, but we find out that Manuel eats the same thing every day. Rice, avocado, red onion, and sardines. That's got to be good on the breath, those sardines.
Yeah. That's why his hair looks so good. He's got all that oil.
My father eats sardines. I'm just so, he's like, this big, good source of omega-3s, friend.
Can you not? I don't think I've never had them not in a Caesar salad. I've like chopped up. I've never actually,
those are anchovies.
Anchovies. I don't think
sometimes
I've ever
they put sardines in them. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever had sardines.
Then. Sardines are in a can. Canned I think my fish, they call
did
it.
Did my, I think dad, you know how my
that
dad
tracks.
Loves food in a can.
Yeah,
I think
that
maybe
tracks.
He ate the sardines.
That tracks. My father would eat them though. And that's when we get the saying of the milk's not real, the meat's not real. He's just taking it all in. But dinner, they're having dinner with her mother tonight named Stacy. And all I can think, and they're going to talk about, and she still doesn't know. Does your mother know? Do you know that ABBA song?
No.
Does your mother know? Oh, yeah. It's from Mamma Mia. You saw all those movies. You had to see.
I don't remember that movie, that song in there.
Does
I did
your mother
see
know
movie.
is from that. Yeah. It's at least from the stage show.
Ah. Okay.
But so mom still doesn't know. And I'm concerned about this until he says later. This is jumping ahead a little bit. But he's like, I didn't tell her I was leaving because I thought it might stop me from going. And I went, that makes sense.
That does make
because
sense.
Because you...
She would stop you or it would stop you?
It would stop him. It would stop... He wouldn't be able to tell her. And he wouldn't be able to go. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is a better move for my family and for my kids. And I know this is a better move for me. And then I went, so it's not just pure avoidance for you. And it made me see him in a very different way.
It did make me see him in a different way, but it also made me go, I don't know how I can, it's just not explained. So I don't want to say I don't trust him yet. It's just not explained very well of, you have two teenage children. Did you just leave your kids and not tell your kids that you're moving too?
Well, yeah, I think you're discounting. He said, I'm always gone for work. So they're used to that. I don't know if you understand what the situation is. He should have told. I think they made a big deal of saying that he didn't tell the mom.
We don't know. That's what I'm saying. We don't know if he told his kids, but it feels like right now, I hope they know about that. But,
yeah. So,
I mean, she seems to push that she wants him. Do you think it's good for her to push for this, or do you think Ashley needs to butt out?
I understand why she wants to, because so the mom won't blame her for it. In the most selfish reason, but I think she's saying that like kind of ethically this should be that way. And
I agree with her. I feel like she's not, I don't think she's asking for anything ridiculous.
No. So what I was worried is what she said. I hope that his family knows about me and I hope he's told his sons about me. And I went, okay, well, now we have a problem.
They don't need to know about you yet.
What? They're teenagers.
You do? Well, I guess if he is moving, they should know that he's moving with her. Yes.
Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah.
Like, yeah. You think it's, I think it's really weird that you, your two teenage sons don't know your, that you don't, that obviously she hasn't met them.
No. Yeah. I kind of was, I even said it earlier, but in my mind just said, I was thinking they were younger. And they're not, if they're teenagers. That's weird. Yeah. That's weird.
And she's worried. It's not even that they haven't, she hasn't met them. She's worried they don't even know she exists. And that's when I'm just like, ooh.
It would be weird if he's saying, I'm just moving to the U.S. to move to the U.S.
Right.
So, y'all, secrets. Secrets aren't good.
Secrets. So then she's gotten him some shirts, and he's like, oh, I want us to match better. This is extra as fuck. And at one point, he just says, okay, boss.
He's like, okay, boss. He is so attractive to me.
He's gotten more attractive to me. He's hotter to me when without the hat.
Oh, no. His hair is gorgeous. You just want to run your hands in it when he's on top of you. Just like,
There we are. All right.
My baby whispers in my ear. Ooh, sweet nothings. Tells me just what I want to hear. Ooh, sweet nothing.
What's that?
Do it to myself. Do, 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 do. That's a secret, baby. I keep it to myself. Sweet nothing. I know that song because Jessica Gordon sang it at the talent show. Not the first one I did that I won when I was a kid, but later on she sang it. She was very flat. She's the one who had the Marvin the Martian tattoo. And she's dead now.
Looks like Brenda Lee.
Yes, it is a Brenda Lee song. It was later on. Yeah.
Wow. I don't. You talk about people not knowing songs that were old. Wow. If you're watching the internet portrait, my face was so confused.
I love that song. Who doesn't love Brenda Lee?
I do, but I don't know a lot of high schoolers who know her entire catalog.
People would sing a lot of Brenda Lee because all the old timers would love it.
I don't know if I know anything except for It's My Party.
People would sing that.
You don't own, no, that's Leslie Gore was you don't own me.
Well, they did that a lot when people, because the people that were a part of Oklahoma Kids, they sang it.
Oklahoma Kids? What the fuck is
that? Yes. Oklahoma Kids was, so Pam Roberts started Oklahoma Kids. It was Oklahoma Kids was a statewide thing of these kids would do these singing competitions. And I never wanted to do it because it was just too showy to me. And I thought it was.
You were more of a subtle performer.
I was. Territorial Pharaoh did it. I'm not gonna say their names, but all the guys who are still married to women but are very gay did it. And they were in Oklahoma Kids, and it had a lot of Baptists did it. A lot of people at Stoptown do it, in Long Grove First Baptist, because they wouldn't always sing church stuff, but they would. So I knew they wanted me to do Oklahoma Kids, but you had to pay a fee. And my mom said, "Oh, we're not paying money for you to join a club to sing." And so I kind of took on a snobbier air for it that I was too good to be in Oklahoma Kids. That was what I adopted. But I was jealous that they would, it was kind of like they would all sing solo things and then do a show choir thing together. It was really big. And then Pam Roberts was married to Coach Roberts.
Young Americans.
Yes. Yes, maybe Oklahoma Kids was part of Young, because they had outfits.
On a lower budget.
They would learn dances when they were singing.
Yeah, sounds like Young Americans.
And it stopped because Pam Roberts, who taught me piano, but she wasn't very good at piano. She would just, she was a terrible teacher. But anyway, I remember going in her trailer house of her and Coach Roberts to take lessons. But this
How
is later
in a piano in a trailer?
Good question. Good question. It was upright. It wasn't a grand.
Let's move on.
But anyway, no, I was just going to say, in Oklahoma Kids,
it's my fault.
All went away is Coach Roberts had an affair with my first grade teacher, Mrs. Ellis, and it was a big, big hoop-de-doo. And Pam Roberts left town after that, after they got divorced. And just did. I showed up for my piano lesson, didn't even know she had moved. Didn't even tell me. And then so Coach Roberts had to come out and told my mom, well, she left me. She's not.
Because I was fucking the first grade teacher.
And I just stood there with my, I loved it. My purple little Hal Leonard book that was level four. I just looked at it and thought, well, I guess I'm not going to use this.
So that ended and your piano lesson.
Yes. It was like in fifth grade. I never took piano again because there was nobody to teach. Because Mrs. Fox at G&G Music, she left years ago. I had no one to teach me.
It was the piano desert.
It was. Ardmore. There wasn't. Maybe there is someone now, but I couldn't get anybody.
Wonder if one of the gay men who played the piano or the people at the Baptist church could have taught you.
It's true. That's true.
Your mother probably knew not to leave you alone.
Yeah, that she probably knew. Yeah, that was smart.
Let's move on, shall we?
Oh, yes, because it's getting cloudy and kind of dark here, and the light's going to change. And you know Christina hates that when she has to fix the light of the camera.
So I said earlier, you look like you're in Mystic River. It's that. It's like Clint Eastwood blue.
It is very blue. It is, yeah.
So, y'all, they are later on. Mom Stacy is meeting them. She's like, she had mid 16, so we kind of grew up together. We're buddies. And then her sister shows up, her sister who we've seen before, the sensible sister, as she calls herself, with yes, her husband,
Sierra,
Samuel.
Sienna.
Sienna. And then they start doing Google Translate. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Please let the translator work.
It's not good when the first thing they ask a translator, when are you going to have babies?
And Ashley's face, and it seems like she's heard this before, and mom just went, quickie, me old.
She's not old. But she's young.
But that's what she said. Quickie.
She was funny, but I think this mother has the potential to be a nightmare.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Later on, then did you hear what the mom says? She's like, oh, I'm concerned they didn't say anything. We didn't say goodbye to his family. And she looks right at Ash. She's like, how does that make you feel that you're the reason he left his family? I was like, whoa.
I thought my mouth just dropped. And I went, and that's where I converted. Oh, mom is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Wow.
I guarantee you that's not the worst thing she's asked her daughter.
No, it is not.
But mom says, time will tell. Sure. She's like, tonight was round one. I'm going to have to really get more information out of him. Later on, basically, they're talking about Rico Suave being a cock block. And I imagine, y'all, a dog is going to cock block you.
Oh, for sure.
That's their job.
Oh, for sure.
And anyway, he's making food for her, and she does say, it's time to call your mom. And he's like, I don't know how to tell her. So that, I really do believe that's the reason he couldn't, because he didn't know how. And that's what I was talking about before, that he said, I didn't tell my mom because I thought I might change my mind.
It kind of was a letdown because we thought she would have a big reaction when he tells her on FaceTime, and she really was pretty calm about the whole thing.
I think she's probably going to, later on, there was a preview that his family's been calling a lot.
Calling Ashley a lot. Yeah.
And later on, he's like, he tells his mom, I'm in New York. And she says, you left without talking to anyone. Why? And then she basically says, foreboding, don't forget about the family.
Don't forget about the family. Log off. And then she just, that's what made me laugh hysterically. Don't forget about the family. And then just boop, boop, she's gone. And then
that's
Manuel says,
move.
Yeah. And Manuel says, well, her internet died. And he's just sitting there.
That's I mean, the show.
It was great. It was great.
I feel like 20 minutes were you talking about the plot of Barely Roll Along.
Well, I enjoyed it. You know, it made really, me miss you and grateful for you, but apparently you don't care.
I really do want to see it with two of my friends who've been in my apartment.
Soda gross. So sorry, y'all. All right, everybody. That's it the show.
By no means not like you're bad. You're going to say, no, my friend so-and-so. You're the worst.
I am not. Y'all. All right. That's the show, everybody. Thank you for listening. It's going to be a fun week of great TV. We hope you enjoy it. We hope you gave you a little break from your day or your week. And we're sending our love. And we call these people Lonely Hearts Poodle because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yes. And if you've ever been cock blocked by your dog,
I have.
You can call us.
Call us.